something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara, and on the line we've got Jamie Hensley. Good morning, Jamie, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
You're expecting my call, I hope.
Yes, I am.
So listen, very exciting. A lot of people know you because you were part of Union J on The X Factor. And I was going to say to you, God, that must be 2-3 years ago. And it's actually seven years ago.
Seven.
How on earth has that happened? How has that time passed by in the blink of an eye?
It's 7 years actually. Today I moved into the X Factor house, so it's pretty crazy that it's gone that quickly. But it's, I love it that I'm so lucky enough to still be sitting here saying I'm still working.
Like, yeah.
7 years, I'm still lucky to have the job I love. So it's been a long time, but it's been a very fun time.
How's the voice doing? You're speaking very gently there. Are you trying to rest your voice a little
bit?
I try
to rest it.
It's quite demanding, the role that you're doing at the moment, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, it is. I have to, like, I've lowered my speaking voice like a good like half a tone, I reckon,
yeah.
Because I'm trying to like not stress it out because there's so much singing to do. But it's amazing that the show's phenomenal. And actually, I think I've just got stronger. My voice is getting stronger. I'm able to do things I wasn't able to do before. And I think it's like any muscle, the more you use it, the more rewards you get out of it.
I think it's not being afraid of actually trying to hit those notes as well. You know the way sometimes we almost doubt ourselves and we don't go for it because we think,
that's
oh, you know what,
is.
I can't reach it.
Completely that. And if you can do it once, it's obviously there in your, that's what I've always told myself, like psychologically, like if I can hit the note once, then I can do it. So it is just the fear factor that you kind of panic and you stress yourself out, and that's the worst thing for your voice. So just relaxing into it and being free enough to experiment with the song and stuff is great for me. And I do have some backups as well, like backup versions that maybe go a little bit lower if I am really tired.
Right,
sure,
yeah.
I don't have to take any time off.
It'd be mortifying, wouldn't it, if you went for the note and you couldn't hit it?
Oh, it's happened. It
happens.
A couple of times. Oh, it has happened. It has happened. And the worst one is it, at the end of Act 1, I have a really big like sing in the Go, Go, Go Joseph song. It's really riffy and quite gospel. And I have some really high notes in there. And the last note is the highest note of the show for me. And I, of the first act, just before the blackout and the curtain comes down, and I have cracked a couple of times in that when I'm really tired. And I get so angry because I'm like, no, that's the last thing they're going to remember for the next 15 minutes while they're having a glass of wine
You feel like legging at home and going, do you know what, there's no second part.
The second half, I come back and I'm like going for my life. I'm like singing the phone book to be like, no, I can
actually sing. So we're talking about Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, musical I think everybody knows. I did this one in school, so I'm really familiar with all the songs, and I was listening back to some of them there online, and it just brought me back because I haven't heard them in like 20 years probably, you know. So of these songs, what's your favourite one from the musical?
Oh, my favourite one, I love Close Every Door, obviously that's my solo.
Oh, I was going to say that to you. I loved that one. Yeah,
I love the part of the show when not to ruin it if you've ever seen it, but all the brothers, all of my 11 brothers come to Egypt when I'm the king, the prince of Egypt, to basically beg for my help, and they've done me over in the previous part of the story. So I have this moment where I can be really malicious, and I mess with them and I play with them, and I have quite a bit of a bipolar moment, and I'm quite an evil person for a good 5 minutes. But it's really fun for me to play that part
because you're sick of being nice all the time.
Absolutely.
So how did you come to get this part? I actually forgot that Philip Schofield did it for years as well.
He did indeed. I got the phone call end of last year to see if I was interested. And I was definitely interested, but I was a bit worried about schedules, and we hadn't decided we were going to take a year or so out of the band at that point. So I didn't really look too much into it, because I didn't really get my hopes up and then it disappeared. So I kind of was like, yeah, we'll see if we can make it work. And then the producer had to fly to America, so they weren't available. And I kind of thought, oh, it's obviously not meant for me. It's going to go past me. Then we decided to take the little bit of hiatus in the group. And then I got the phone call again, and I was still really interested. And I was like, oh, that's good. And I spoke to my agent, and he said, well, that they're still really interested after a few weeks, and they obviously haven't found anybody. Do you want to go for it? And I said, absolutely, I'll go. And they were quite late in the casting process for the rest of the cast. So I just literally went down to London, went into the office of Bill Kenwright's office, and sang in front of a piano for him. And that was pretty much it. I sung one song, and he was like, right, I'm sold, thanks.
Really?
Oh,
amazing. Yeah. I even remember doing the audition for this back in school. And I so wanted the part of a narrator. I just really wanted it. And I got absolutely no part. I think I was in the chorus or something, which is how I knew all the songs, because, it was devastating.
No. So, yeah, I'm glad I got this one.
And mine was only a school production, and you're going all over the place. So you're on tour. It's on tour at the moment, yeah?
Yes. Yep, in the UK at the minute.
Okay, so you're coming to Dublin then. You're going to be at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre between the 8th and the 12th of October. So a few nights there. So I take it then in the evenings when you're done, you just have to kind of go home and rest, do you? Go back to the hotel and chill out?
It's so boring. I mean, I might struggle now I'm in Dublin.
Yeah.
It might be the week that I let myself have a little bit of fun. But no, I have to, just because alcohol and sleep deprivation are, for me, they're the killer of my voice. Like, they're the things that knack on my voice out. I can scream and shout to my heart's content, eat what I want and all of that sort of stuff. But singing, for me, if I don't sleep enough, my voice just doesn't wake up. And if you sing on bad, quite boring technically, if you sing on an unwarm voice, that's when you do like damage to it. So I'm having to look after myself, but the team are great and we do a lot of social stuff that isn't going out and partying and stuff. We do meals and we have games nights and stuff. It's all very cute.
It sounds very boring. We play Snap. Are you a smoker at all, Jamie?
Not to a massive degree. I mean, if I have a drink, then I think the vape, or I might be that person that does, like, vaping is the thing that, if I've ever done, is the thing that actually knackers my voice as well. It's a completely different thing. And a lot of singers smoke and they say, yes, it's not great for your stamina and your breathing, but actually what it does to your voice as such isn't that drastic when you're doing it. But vaping, I tried to vape once, I literally just couldn't breathe, I couldn't sing or anything because it just sat on my vocal cords. So they're the worst things about vaping. And also the smoke machine on the stage is a killer for me.
Yeah, well, they say that's like the same as a vape, really. It's the same kind of chemicals that come out of that. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like when I've got a sore voice, I steam, so I use like eucalyptus water and stuff like that, and I boil it up and I breathe it in, similar to a vape. I've got a little nebulizer thing, which basically it is a vape, but for like good stuff. And I use that for my voice. And that's obviously just going straight to your vocal cords. And what's always worried me about a smoke machine or vape and stuff is it's a chemical that you're putting on the same place as you do when you put the medicine in your voice. So it's obviously going to the same place, but not doing the right thing. So when the smoke machine comes on, and sometimes they leave the button on a little bit too long and we look like we're with scars in your eyes. I look like I'm drastically blowing the smoke away and turn to the back and I'm like, well, that looks like a right idiot on stage.
So if you collapse on stage, we'll know why.
Absolutely.
So what's the story with Union J now? Are Union J done or are you just on a break?
Oh, absolutely not. No, just on a break. Absolutely not done. We're always planning. We're planning the next sort of steps. We have been for last year, like when it's the right time and when the right opportunity comes up. And there's some exciting things that we're talking about. And it's not a matter of if, it's definitely a matter of when for us.
Yeah, yeah. But they're okay with you going off and doing your own thing in between.
Yeah, they've been so supportive. And I think for all of us, it was the right time. The boys have been doing what they like to do as well. They did just stuff. JJ's been doing some TV presenting for horse racing because he was a jockey. And Josh is smashing it in the modelling world. And there's no sort of rivalry. We're all doing individual stuff and we're all massively supportive of each other. And I think we needed at least a year to go and soul search as individuals, because it's a weird world to grow up in. We were teenagers and very early 20s when we started this career, and now we're all sort of heading towards 30.
Yeah,
we've not had those formative years of your early 20s in a normal situation. It's been an amazing situation and it's been wonderful, but we've always had each other by our sides and we're all in relationships as well. So
yeah,
we've not really had any lone time to sort of like figure out who we are as growing up as men. So this year's been really important for us to go out in the world as a lone ranger, as it were, and figure out who we are as people and what we want to do. And the good thing is, at the end of this year, we've also got a massive love and passion for each other and for music and for the band. So it's actually been a brilliant thing.
Do you have any regrets at all about going on The X Factor and how it totally changed your life? Because I'm sure there are times when you're in Tesco and you're like, oh, here we go again. Here's somebody looking for a selfie.
No, I have no regrets. I mean, I think my only regret is I'd love to go back and do it again, back to that time, knowing what I know now. I wish I wasn't so naive to how easy I thought it was going to be. And you kind of get wrapped up, you think, oh, it's going to be a breeze, I'm going to live the dream. And it can be really tough at times, and not in an ungrateful way, but there are times you think, God, why am I doing this? Why am I putting my body through this, or putting my family through this? You do have a bit of an internal struggle with being selfish, because it is a very selfish career. So I wish I could go back and know what I know now and put that into practice, but no regrets whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very privileged and very humbled at the fact that I get to do a job that I love every day. And not everyone can say they do that. Actually, not a lot of people can say they do that. So you do sometimes have to give your head a little bit of a wobble and say, no, okay, it's fine. Everyone has dark days or sad days or stress days, regardless of what situation, if you're the richest person, the poorest person, whatever. Emotions are relative to people. So I'm older, I'm like, I was allowed to have feelings that wasn't all just happy. I was in a band, and you have to get to a place where you're so self-confident now, and I'm at that place now. I'm like, okay, do you know what? It's just life. Do you know what I mean? Life is life, and what's meant for you is not going to go past you, or it's always going to get better, or you are going to have times when it gets worse. And I think you just, it was a very young time to do what I did on the exact and join into this career, but ultimately it's definitely shaped me for who I am as the man today.
Isn't it funny that that documentary that was on the other night, Jessie Nelson, and you know, obviously she was on with Little Mix, and we had no idea at the time when she was on the show, everything that she was going through when she was being bullied so much by people on social media. Did you experience anything like that on social media?
Yeah, I did. I think out of the boys, I probably did the most. I think because I was larger than the other boys by a good couple of stone, and I was the gay one, and I was. Not necessarily, I didn't look like the rest of the boys at that moment in time. I didn't have that, and I did get very much stereotyped as the fat gay one with the high voice, and it was sad that they tended to lumber me in with other people that I look up to in a positive role model state and use them as well as a negative thing. And there was times, and I did get quite a lot of stick for coming out, but I was very confident. It didn't affect me that much until I think probably about 2015-2016, a few years later. And when we stopped being signed to Sony and I was having a bit of a panic about where I was going to go in life, I then started looking at myself physically, which I'd never done before, because Instagram was starting to come around and you had to have so many Instagram followers and getting a blue tick and all of that stuff to be relevant. I started looking at myself and I did overdo things. I did diet too much, or I did put too much weight on at one point, and I got Botox and stuff at 25, which is mad because I was so obsessed with I'm not going to be able to rely on being a singer anymore because we wasn't sure if we were going to get me signed. I thought, I'm going to have to become a TV personality or all of these things.
And you started getting self-conscious about the way you looked and
massively.
Everything.
Massively. Yeah. And I never used to be, and I'm not now. And it's all makeup. Do you know what I mean? This whole industry, none of us look like what you see on Instagram posts. None of us look like what you see on telly. We've had an hour's makeup. We've had our hairstyle by a professional. We were wearing designer clothes that someone has lended us for half an hour.
Yeah.
When you actually see me, my hair's a mess. I've got a beard and I'm in a tracksuit. But that's the reality of it. And you have to remember that actually it is just all a costume.
Social media can be so dangerous, can't it?
Really dark. Really dark. I'm very much not a person on it. I have them and I get a lot of stick from the fans. And you're never active. And I'm like, because if I don't have anything to say, I'm not going to say anything for the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
I posted loads of pictures last week because I was on holiday, but I'm not going to post a picture every day just to please some people that want a few likes off of it. It's not about that for me. And I learned that very on that I wasn't going to be able to fit into that world. So there's no point trying to change who I am for that. But like you said about Jesse, I was drastically sad when I watched it because at the beginning I was actually on the same year as X Factor as the girls in a different group. So I met them all there and I was friends with Jesse probably the most and spoke to them quite a lot from X Factor. And then afterwards, her and George became quite good friends with us. And I had no idea. She to me was this person that I loved her energy. She had this wonderful aura and I loved her that she wasn't a size 6 when she was on X Factor. For me, that was someone I could look up to and be like, yeah, you go, girl. Like, you aren't what everyone looked like in all the other girl bands. But that's what made Little Mix Little Mix.
Yeah.
I love that they never wore high heels on the show. They always wore trainers. And that's what, to me, made them special. And to know that she was struggling with what made her ultimately this wonderful, talented, beautiful person. When I watched it the other night, I was like, I felt an idiot. Like, I had no idea. And, you know, I'm not professing to be her best friend or was at that time, but I was someone that spent time with her. And for me to miss that kind of made me have a little word with myself and look at myself and be like, even if you're going through it yourself, or even if you think you're this person that is really aware of people's feelings and you're there for people, it can go under the radar. And that's really sad for someone.
Yeah.
I'm so glad now she's in a great place.
It's great she's done this documentary because it really has opened people's eyes and it's made a lot of people think.
She's changed a lot of things massively.
Yeah.
She really will. And another person as well as Bobby Norris from Towie, who's a good friend of mine, and he's changing law. He's actually going to Parliament with it. And I think now you have these people that are fighting for what's right, and she is such an influential person, and there is a small bracket of the world out there that are horrible to people and will try and knock you for something that shouldn't be an insecurity, but she's risen above it, and I know she'll probably get a lot of bit of stick now for being like, well, you've now lost too much weight, you've conformed. But no, what she's done is she's made herself happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's important. And that's the only person she needs to care about is how she feels.
I did an interview actually with Little Mix not too long after them winning the X Factor. And I remember at the time thinking how amazing she was. She's this beautiful girl, full of energy, brilliant at doing an interview. And got to the end of the interview and we were doing a photograph, you know, and I was getting in. And I remember I was standing next to her thinking, oh my God, I'm so fat next to her. And she was thinking that about herself.
Yeah.
And I was looking at her thinking how amazing she was and beautiful she was, you know. So
independent and crazy talented girl. Yeah.
So it was really, you know, she started thinking this about herself, even though that wasn't how she was at all, you know.
It's all relative. You can be the richest, most beautiful person in the world, but you still have insecurities, or you can be the poorest person, they'd be the happiest. It's all relative to your life. And I think she's really going to change the way for a lot of young people. Not just young people, I think for anybody. What I've loved to see in my Facebook, my personal Facebook, is my mum's friends and people that I went to school with that aren't fussed about this industry and don't care about social media watched it and have been really struck by how hard it hit her. And what I loved is that it was so real.
Yeah.
It wasn't like someone doing a, oh, woe is me interview. It was, no, I'm annoyed. I'm angry that this has happened and you've really hurt me and I'm going to show you and I'm going to make people feel bad. And she's done that in such an incredible, beautiful way. And I was going to be prouder to call her a colleague or watch, or even if I didn't know her, I'd still be proud.
Go Jessie.
Go Jessie.
Well, listen, we've totally gone off track here completely and utterly. I'm going to let you go because I know you've got a busy day ahead. Jamie, you are going to be in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We'll see you here in Dublin at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre between the 8th and the 12th of October. And rest that voice, won't you?
Thank you. See you then.
See ya. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.